Welcome back, everybody, to Monday Night Learning, Monday Night Beis Medrash. It's really great to be back. I'm very excited to be back. We have planned for us a five-part series on Inyanim, on the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah. And the reason why I chose specifically this topic can really be framed very nicely by the Sefer HaChinuch that you have in source number one. The avoda, the task, the mission, what we're working on during this time of Sfiras HaOmer is getting ready for Matan Torah. The task is to try to appreciate what we're going to receive come Shavuos, come Matan Torah. So let's see, the Sefer HaChinuch builds up that point. And then the purpose of our shiur tonight is going to try to use Birkas HaTorah as a lens through which we can really appreciate what we have in the Torah. So says the Sefer HaChinuch in source number one, Mishar Sheya Mitzvah Al-Tzad HaPshat, the roots of this mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is the fi shakoli karan shal Yisrael ino ela haTorah. Since Klal Yisrael is created for the purpose of the Torah, umipnei haTorah nivru shamayim va'aretz v'Yisrael, it's because of the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and formed the nation of Israel. Uchmo shakasuv in Yirmiyahu, im lo berisi yom v'alayla chuko shamayim va'aretz lo samti, in the Gemara Nedarim Lamed Beis, darshins from there, that if it were not for the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have created the world. As the Zohar says, Istakel ba'oraisa ubara alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at the Torah and then created the world. The Torah was the blueprint for the world. Life can be encapsulated by, by a life of orienting ourselves around Torah and mitzvot. V'hi ha'ikar v'asiva sh'nitru v'yotim v'mitzrayim k'dei she'yikablu ha'Torah b'sinai v'yikamuah. The very purpose for which Klal Yisrael was freed from Mitzrayim is so that they could receive the Torah and live it. U'b'vnechein, since this is so, we're skipping a little bit. Kihi koli karin shal Yisrael, since the Torah is the essence of the Jewish people, u'ba'avura negalu va'alu l'chol ha'gdula sha'alu eleha, it's because of it that they were redeemed and rose to the levels to which they did. Nitztavinu limnos mimacharas yom tov shal Pesach ad yom nesinas ha'Torah. That's why we're commanded to count from the day after our exodus from the 16th of Nisan all the way until Shavuos. To do what? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, we have to remember this line. Every night when we fulfill the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, we have to remember this line. Laharos b'nafshenu, to demonstrate within ourselves, hachefetz hagadol, the great, profound desire and yearning, el hayom hanichbad hanichsaf lilibenu, to the day of Shavuos, which is so dignified and so desirable within our hearts. Ke'eved yeshav tzel, the way that someone who's working all day wishes for shade. V'yimne tomin masa yavo ha'is hanichsof elav sheyetzi l'cheir. So he's always counting, when is that time going to come? When's it going to come? Ki aminyon mare la'odom ki kol yishol v'chol chefzo lehagia lazman ahu. The count, it illustrates that the person's entire salvation, his redemption, his desire, it's all in order to get to that destination. This is why we count since the Omer. You might ask, like when you have a wedding calendar, so you don't count up, you count down, right? You do the X's on the calendar. So isn't that what we should do? There were 49 days, and now let's X them off until we get to number one, and we get to Shavuos. But we do exactly the opposite. Why? Skip to the second to last line. Ki kol zeh mare banu haratzon hechazak la'agia lazman. Because this all shows how fortified, how strong our desire is to get to that time. V'akein lo nirtze lahazkir betchilas cheshboninu riboy hayamim. At the beginning, we don't want to mention how many days there are left. Shayash lo nuhagia lekorben shtei alechem shal atzeres, because it's going to cause us pain and distress to know that the time is so far away. For the Sefer HaChinuch, as I described over Shabbos, we're trying to really pump ourselves up for Shavuos. We're trying to get into that mindset, trying to get into that into that state where we're trying to appreciate the Torah. So as we explained over Shabbos, the Sefer HaChinuch is telling us we're not counting down. We're not waiting for something to happen. We're counting up. We know it's going to happen. We can't wait for it to happen. You know, we have such a desire for it, and we're going to build and build until we get to it. Birkas HaTorah, as I want to explain tonight and explore together with you, I think is the perfect frame, the perfect way to view what we're trying to accomplish in Sfiras HaOmer and how to develop a proper attitude and perspective on the gift that we're going to be given Kom Shavuos in just a couple of weeks. Usually, when our shiurim, we go min akala lakavid, we try to go from the light to the heavy, we try to build everything up step by step. So, normally, what I would have done is take the topic of Birkas HaTorah and start from, okay, what's the source for it? What's the nature of the bracha? What are the ramifications between the different opinions? Tonight, I want to do something a little bit different in order to kind of get ourselves in the mode of preparing for Shavuos. And what I want to do is develop one specific perspective on Birkas HaTorah. Next week, we'll do the classic shiur. But this week, I want to develop one specific perspective that I think will really enrich and inspire us going forward. So it all begins from a Gemara. Maseches Brachos Tav Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. It's a striking Gemara for those who haven't seen it before. Amar Rav Yehuda, minayin leberkas hamazon lacharei menat Torah. How do we know that you have to bench after you have a meal of bread? So it's a bracha deoraisa. Minayin leberkas haTorah lefaneh menat Torah. How do you know you have to make a bracha before learning Torah? Shneamar ki shema Hashem ekra havu godel elokeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people that when he calls out in the name of Hashem, they should respond with giving greatness and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll get to, we'll explore that even more so next week. But now pay attention to this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lomadnu birkas haTorah la'achareha min birkas hamazon mikal v'chomer. We learn out that you make a bracha after learning Torah, and that's when you go up to receive an aliyah. So you say asher bochar banu mikol amim, or asher nos alanu Torah SMS afterwards. How do you know that you say such a bracha? Says Rabbi Yochanan. Well, because there's a bracha, there's an obligation to bench. Since you're obligated to say Birkas HaMazon, you're also obligated to make a bracha after learning Torah. And then in the opposite direction, the Gemara says, how do I know that I have to make a bracha before eating any food? Well, because I have to make a bracha before I learn. What? What's going on here? I'm comparing the bracha that I make before I enjoy the delicious food that Avi sponsored for us tonight. By the way, I forgot to announce. Thank you, Avi and the Brick family, for sponsoring tonight's shiur. And it should be a zechus for the Refuah Shlema for Boaz Yosef ben Liora Charna, okay, who's having a surgery tomorrow and should be in our tefilos tomorrow. Thank you, Avi. So what is this connection between? And it's not just me. The Gemara says you can't compare making brachos on food to making brachos on Torah. Food I get an actual physical sustenance and benefit from. And Torah is the eternal light that we study. It provides us with actual life. Not just with physical life, but with spiritual life. You can't compare the two. So the Gemara ends up saying, yeah, Tiyuvta. Okay, that comparison doesn't work. But if you take a look at the Yerushalmi, it's not on the source sheet, the Yerushalmi in Brachos Perek Zayin has an opinion that suggests this comparison, and it doesn't reject it. It takes it at face value. So what exactly is this connection, the comparison between Birkas HaMazon and Birkas HaTorah? You would have thought that they were like as far as could be. So we're going to suggest two possibilities, and we'll explore both of them. The first one is to argue that although on its surface Birkas HaTorah appears like a bracha that you make on a mitzvah, you have to study the Torah, that's why you make a bracha beforehand. Or maybe, as the Ramban says, it's a Birkas Shevach VeHoda'a, we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having given us the Torah. There are others who say that no, based on this Gemara, as a background, we can argue that Birkas HaTorah is actually like a form of Birkas HaNehenid. A bracha that I make when I derive benefit from something. Birkas HaNe'anin is like when I say Hamotzi Lechem in Ha'aretz, and I eat the bread. Birkas HaTorah is just like that. The famous author of this opinion is the Levush, Rav Mordechai Yaffa, in source number 3. He compares Birkas HaTorah to Birkas HaNe'anin, just like the Gemara, but he takes it really much, much further, because he tries to parallel the two, so much so that he carries over halachos from one to the other. So he explains, Ve'in l'tmoa, second paragraph in source number 3 on the all Hebrew sheets, Lama in mevarchin gamkin bracha la'acharea, k'moshon mevarchin ala sefer Torah bracha la'acharea. So when we say Birkas HaTorah in the morning, we say two or three brachos, right? Say those brachos in the morning before you study Torah. Do you say a bracha after learning Torah? After tonight's shiur, we're going to say a bracha? No. So the Levush is wondering, hold on a second, why not? If Birkas HaTorah is like a Birkas HaNe'enin, then I should have made a bracha afterwards, just like I say a bracha achrona after I eat food. What's the premise of his question? That I should treat Birkas HaTorah exactly like I treat Birkas HaNe'enin. I have a bracha before and a bracha after. For somebody who says the Birkas HaTorah is just a Birkas HaMitzvah, it's a bracha that I make before I do a mitzvah, you would never ask this question. Does anybody ever have a havamina, a first thought to say that I make a bracha after shaking the lulav? After blowing the shofar? No, you make a bracha beforehand. You certainly don't have to make a bracha before and after. So why does the Levush think that you should have made a bracha before and after? Because he's comparing it to the category of brachos on benefits, on food. Why don't I make a bracha afterwards? So the Levush says it's because there's no time to make the bracha. Because you're always obligated to learn Torah. Obligated to learn Torah throughout the entire day. And he says, oh, what about right before you go to sleep? He says you should be dreaming about Torah. Thinking about Torah even in your sleep. So we're obligated to learn Torah whenever we have a free moment. So he says there's no time to make the bracha. And then he says, maybe that's why we have two brachos in the morning. We're going to discuss this at length also as we go forward. But why do we have so many brachos? Very unusual to have a mitzvah that we recite so many brachos for. Usually you say one bracha and that's it. Why do you have two brachos, three brachos? The Levush says there are two brachos. One of them is the bracha for the learning that you're going to do that day. And the other is the bracha achrona for the learning that you did the previous day. So the Levush thinks that Birkas HaTorah is exactly like Birkas HaNe'enin, so much so that you need a bracha before and also a bracha afterwards. Now this makes sense. This justifies the comparison between Birkas HaTorah and Birkas HaMazon. But it's a wild chiddush to think that Birkas HaTorah is really like a Birkas HaNe'enin. Yeah, Itay.
I want to go back to the first source. So the Gemara uses the phrase "kishem hashem akrav bordel lokeinu,"
yeah,
to imply that there is a requirement for a bracha afterwards. But obviously, it uses the halacha of svatav
birach. No, me neither.
Before. There's a bracha afterwards.
Good.
Obviously, that makes sense, right? Because I ate and then I made a bracha.
Yeah.
For the second source, how do they understand that that's a bracha before? Like, which part?
I think it's reading the pasuk as saying, when I am about to call out in the name of Hashem, you should first respond with greatness.
Okay, I was just curious.
It's not the pashup shot of the pasuk, and that's why not everybody quotes it as the source for the mitzvah. The Ramban famously quotes it as the source for the mitzvah, but not everybody does. The Ramban doesn't seem to quote that pasuk as the source for the mitzvah. So it is a drasha on the pasuk, absolutely. Yeah, it's a good point.
Is that pasuk interpolating Shem Hashem Ekra as the Limud HaTorah?
Very well could be, and I'll get back to that at the end of the shiur. It's consistent with the Ramban. Yeah, I'll get back to that point. Good point, Lisa. Okay, so I just want to fill out this first approach that Birkas HaTorah is like a Birkas HaNe'enin, and that's why it's compared to the bracha that I make on food before and after. We see in a number of places that the study of Torah is in its ideal form meant to be something that provides us with joy, something that provides us with a benefit, with something that we feel satisfaction from. We find this in a whole slew of cases. First of all, a pasuk that we say every Shabbos, Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Misamchei Lev. The laws of Hashem are straight and they bring joy to the heart. What do we derive from that pasuk? That one is not allowed to study Torah on what day? Tisha B'Av. Because we're not allowed to be in a state of simcha on Tisha B'Av. So you see very clearly, just from the pasuk in Tehillim, Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Misam Chelev, that Torah is meant to be something that brings us joy. It's a topic in and of itself, and I'm not doing the topic fully, but I just want to show a couple of these to try to, better corroborate what the Levush is saying. Two other examples. Rabbi Avraham in Ahar, in source number 4, he was Provençal Rishon, he lived in the 1200s. Generally, we have a principle called mitzvos lav leihanos nitnu, that if you do a mitzvah, you're not doing it in order to derive benefit, or putting aside kavana, we don't associate the benefit that you get from a mitzvah as an actual benefit. Mitzvos lav lechanoch neinu, because the mitzvah wasn't given to you in order to benefit. It was given to you to listen to the will of God. However, Avraham Nahar says that that's not true about the study of Torah. And that's why he says that if you have two people, one of them has a sefer Torah. Tani, don't try this on me one day. He swears off the other guy from letting him use his sefer Torah. So you could have said, mitzvos lav lechanoch neinu. Why should I not be allowed to use the sefer Torah? I'm going to use the sefer Torah in order to learn. That's a mitzvah, and it's not a hana'ah. So Tani swore me off from getting any benefit from any of his property. Part of his property is a sefer Torah. So I shouldn't. So why can't I use the sefer Torah? Because I'm learning. Mitzvos lav lechanoch neinu. Rabbi Avraham Nahar says no. You do get benefit from learning, because learning brings you joy. It's a joy that is supposed to be a part of the process of learning. If you take a look at the fourth to last line in Rabbi Avraham Nahar, it says she'ikr mitzvaso hi hahana'a v'hatanuk b'meshe masig u'mevin b'limuda. The primary part of the mitzvah is the hana'a and the pleasure that you get by coming to grasp, to understand, to comprehend that which you learn. So you can't say mitzvos lav lechanoch neinu, because part and parcel, definitional to this mitzvah, is that it's supposed to provide you with that type of satisfaction. And perhaps the most off-quoted source when it comes to this idea is the Hakdama of the Sefer Egle Tal, the Sachat Shavar Rebbe, the Chuvos Avni Nezer, he also wrote. And the Sefer Egle Tal is his landmark perush on Hilchos Shabbos. And in the Hakdama to Egle Tal, so he writes like this. We have to read it inside. It's too good not to read it inside. It says like this. Source number 5. Umidei Dabri Zachor Ezkor. Right, that's a play on words. Midi dabrivo, zachor ezkerenu od. Okay, so midi dabri zachor ezkor, mashu shamati k'tas b'nei adam toin. He says, I've heard some people make the mistake, midarech haseichel, from their intellect, b'inyin limud Torah hakadosha, with respect to learning. Va'amru ki alomin u'mechadesh chidushim, a person who learns and comes up with novelties, v'sameach u'misanei b'limudo, and he's joyful, he finds pleasure in his learning, these people, they say about such a person, oh, that's not such a pure motive for learning, because you're just doing it because you want to feel good. But if he just learned, if he or she just learned because it's a mitzvah, you have to learn, then that's really Torah Lishma. However, says the Avni Nezer, the Egle Tal, Aval Halomi, skipping to the end of the third line, Aval Halomi nu misani bilimudo. Next line. The MS is that ha'os mefursam. This is a clear mistake on their part, a misimpression. The adirabba, it's the exact opposite. Ki zehi ikar mitzvas limud haTorah lihiosas v'sameach umisani b'limuda. It's for a person to be joyous, to find pleasure in their learning. Va'az divrei Torah nivla'in b'dama. And then the Torah becomes a part of his own self, a part of his body, a part of his flesh. So Rabbi Avraham Nahar and the Egle Tal, Pikudei Hashem Yishar Misam Chelev, what this is all proving is that Torah, the experience of learning Torah, is supposed to provide us with that satisfaction. And that's not surprising in light of what we saw in the Lulavush, that the comparison between Birkas HaTorah and Birkas HaNe'enin is a real one. So much so that we're going to make a bracha before learning and after learning, except that we can't really, so we have to combine the two together. But at the end of the day, that's what they're considering. Yeah?
In the whole of the book, I don't think that's really what he's asking. I think he's asking in the context of why do we have a second, why do we say two brachos? We said the second bracha comes from Berachos Torah, but since they made the bracha out of Berachos, they said we're an extra bracha, we're from the Torah, so they said we should read the other bracha too.
Oh, at the very beginning.
Says, how come, Zach, we don't say the other one?
No, but at the very beginning, he says, Kimo b'chol birkas hanenin, shemivarchin l'fonau l'acharel. Just as you make a bracha before and after when you eat, so too you should do when you learn.
The only question is coming because of the fact that we do it by that they were talking this by Kriyas HaTorah.
But that would be sufficient on its own to ask the question. He doesn't need to compare it to birkas hanenin.
Right, so...
Good. So that's the end of approach number one. Approach number two. Why is it that we would compare Birkas HaTorah to Birkas HaNe'enin? So let's add one other Gemara. There are really two Gemaras in Maseches Brachos that talk about Berakas HaTorah. We saw the first one, that's Daf Chaf Aleph. The second one is Daf Yud Aleph Amin Beis. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hishkin Lishnos. If you get up to learn, Achalo Kara Kriyashma Tzarech Levarich. If you have not yet said Kriyashma, one is obligated to make the bracha of Berakas HaTorah. Mishakara Kriyashma Einu Tzarech Levarich Shekvar Niftar Ba'avar Rabba. However, if you already said Kriyashma, then you don't have to make the bracha because you're already exempt from Avar Rabba. There's something very fascinating about this line in the Gemara and about Berakas HaTorah that we take for granted, we don't think about so much, but when we sit on it for a little bit, there's something huge that emerges from it. If you think about a Berakas HaMitzvah and any other mitzvah, so you're supposed to say the bracha, right? If you don't say the bracha, so you haven't done as you were supposed to. But would you say that it's usur, is it forbidden to do the mitzvah without the bracha? No. It's that you should make the bracha because there's an opportunity to do a Berakas HaMitzvah. But would you say that it's forbidden to learn, to do the mitzvah without the bracha? No. Good, because of Birkas Hanen, and that's exactly where I'm going. Yeah, exactly, no. So Noam's stealing the show. He's comparing it to Birkas HaTorah and Birkas Hanen. But I want to build up the question by showing that for other Birkas HaMitzvah, you would never think that, oh, I can't do the mitzvah unless I made the bracha. Right? Meaning it's forbidden for me to do the mitzvah unless I made the bracha. No, of course not. You should do the bracha, because that's a mitzvah in and of itself, to say Birkas HaMitzvah. Now the Rambam, and the way that the Rav of Soloveitchik reads the Rambam, emphasizes this point when it comes to Berakas HaTorah. The Rambam in source number 7, in two different halachos, in Parag Zayin of Hilchos Tvila, Halacha Yud and Halacha Yud Aleph, his formulation seemed to be repetitive, because he says twice that one should say Berakas HaTorah. He says first, Hamashkim Likor Batorah Kodom Sheker Kriyashma, Bein Kar Batorah Shevichsav, Bein Kar Batorah Shevapeh, Nota Yod of Tvila, first you wash your hands, Uvarach Shalosh Brachos, the Acher Kach Kodem. So he says, when you get up to learn, first you make the brachos, and then you learn. And then in the very next halacha, he says, B'chol yom chayev adam levarich shalosh brachos eilu, ve'achar kach kodem ma'am edivrei Torah. Every day you have to make these brachos and then learn a little bit. Didn't you just tell me that? You just said the same thing twice. Why is the Rambam repeating the same thing? So the Rav in source number 8 explains, and this is also found in the Shiurim Lezecher Abba Mari, in the Yortzeit Shiurim that the Rav gave, he explains that what the Rambam is establishing here is really two different purposes for Birkas HaTorah. One is that every day a Jew is obligated to say Birkas HaTorah and learn right afterwards. That's a positive obligation, to say Birkas HaTorah and have it be juxtaposed with actual learning. And then there's a second point, which is that whenever you want to learn, you can't learn without first having said a Birkas HaTorah. It's not only that there's a positive obligation, it's that Birkas HaTorah also enables you to learn, which is not something that we would say about other Birkos HaMitzvah, that it enables you to do a mitzvah. Maybe, the Rav suggests such an idea for the Rambam, but everybody agrees that when it comes to Birkas HaTorah, it enables you to do the mitzvah. So much so that there's a debate amongst the Achronim whether there is actually an isur, there is actually a prohibition to study Torah when you have yet to say Birkas HaTorah. Take a look at Rav Shlomo Zalman in source number 9. He quotes from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Agav ra'isi dahadar ga'ono, sover b'pshitos, the Gemara didan, he thinks that it's pashut, it's simple according to our Gemara, that im echad nimtza b'matzav shuhu anus ala bracha, if one finds him or herself in a situation where they're unable to say the bracha, ve'inu yachu b'shul ofen levarich Birkas HaTorah, there's no way for them to say the bracha. Digam asur lo lilmo Torah. So that in that case, they are not allowed to study Torah. Dechemo noam sha'aser lehanos meha'olam hazeh below bracha. Just as one is not allowed to benefit from this world, you can't eat or drink or have other benefits from this world without making a bracha first. Kach asur gam lilmo Torah v'habracha me'akedes delimudo lochashiv mitzvah ela aveira. If one is going to learn without saying a bracha first, that learning is an avera, not a mitzvah. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that it's a big chiddush, and he disagrees. Although in another place in the same Sefer, Shlomo Zalman seems to contradict himself and agree with Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank that there's a prohibition to study. And there are some halachic applications of this, and maybe we'll come back to it. My time's running out for tonight. Maybe we'll come back to it in a future shiur, this source number 10 from Shmuel Vosner. But the point that I want to bring out is that where else do we find that we need a bracha in order to change something into a mitzvah? Meaning without the bracha, you're not allowed to do this. With the bracha, now it becomes the biggest mitzvah of all. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. And seemingly this is all rooted in the original question that we posed. The connection between Birkas HaTorah and Birkas HaNeinim. Just as Noam said, and just as I emphasized when I read the Reb Shlomo Zalman, we're comparing Birkas HaTorah to Birkas HaNeinim. And just as you can't benefit from this world without first making a bracha, so too you can't learn Torah without first making a bracha. What is this idea that it would be prohibited to learn without first saying the bracha? So I want to try to develop an answer to this based on a very, very important Gemara in Masachas Nedarim. For all those who did Daf Yomi, so you saw this Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch in the very first halacha of Simin Mem Zayin, source number 11, about Birkas HaTorah, says, Birkas HaTorah tzarech lizaher ba me'od. One needs to be very cautious about the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah. What is this idea, this formulation of being very cautious and scrupulous about Birkas HaTorah? It doesn't say that about every simin. It doesn't say Birkas Kohanim tzarech lizaher ba me'od, meaning it's a mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, of course you have to take it seriously. What's this extra, right? Tzarech lizaher ba me'od. So it's based on a Gemara in Nedarim, Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Let's see it together, source number 12. Ravina Omer, She'ein Mevarachin Batura Tchila. Ravina says that people do not have sons who are Tamidei Chachamim because they didn't make a bracha on the Torah first. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Mai Dechsev. What does the Pasuk mean when it says, Mi Ha'ish HaChacham V'Yavina Zos, who is wise and will understand? Davar Zeh Nishal HaChachamim V'la Nevi'im. This matter was asked, it was posed to the Chachamim and the prophets. They were not able to explain it until Hashem came along and explained it himself. Why was the Bais Rishon destroyed? Because people did not recite Birkas HaTorah. That's why the first Bais Hamikdash was destroyed. That's what the Gemara in Nedarim says. Now, this is wild. As the Maharal himself asks, weren't there much, much, much more severe and heinous things that people did during Bayis Rishon, other than not say Birkas HaTorah? What about killing each other? What about adultery? What about theft? What about Avodah Zarah? Birkas HaTorah, that's the reason why Bayis Rishon was destroyed. What is the Gemara trying to say here? Take a look at the Ran, source number 13. Matzasi b'Megillas Tarim shel Rav Rabbeinu Yonazal. Dikra hachidayik. This is what the pasuk implies. The al shalo berchu batura tchila of the haaretz. It's because they didn't make a bracha that the land was lost, that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Now skip a couple of lines. Shalo hayu mevarchin batura tchila, fourth line, klomar. Shalo haisa hatora chashuva be'inehem kolkach, she'yehi ro'i levari chaleha. The Torah was not important enough to them that it deserved a bracha. Shalo hayu oskim balishma. They weren't involved in it with purity of motive. Umitoch kach hayu mizalzalin bevirchasa. That's why they didn't take the bracha seriously. Vahainu lo halchuba. That's what it means they didn't walk next to it or with it. Klomar, bechavanasa v'lishma. They didn't see the bracha because they didn't take Torah seriously. They didn't have a purity of motive. They didn't have a focus and an intent on what the Torah means. The Maharal explains, and Rav Lichtenstein quotes this in one of his articles, that what the Gemara is trying to say is that it's specifically because they didn't say Birkas HaTorah that reflects the weakness of the relationship between the people and the Torah. The fact that they didn't say Birkas HaTorah means that the Torah, in their eyes, was not a gift. It wasn't something that needed to be cherished. It was something that was trite, something that we learn, that we do, but we certainly don't feel, we certainly don't internalize. It wasn't something that you count up to. That's why they didn't say Birkas HaTorah. That reflected the weakness of their relationship with the Torah. And once that bond with the Torah was severed, so then that leads to chaos. Then anything can happen. Then you could start having the big three Avedos. Of course, Bayis Rishon was destroyed because people were killing each other and because of adultery and Avodah Zarah. But how did that all start? With the weakness of the relationship between the people and the Torah. What Birkas HaTorah is, the reason why it's prohibited to learn Torah before you make the bracha, is because Birkas HaTorah is our way of articulating a declaration, of pronouncing that we appreciate the moment in which we're about to learn. We appreciate the Heftza Shel Torah, the entity of the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu graced us with. Birkas HaTorah says to ourselves, to everyone around us, and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this Torah is not just an intellectual pursuit. This Torah is a way of life. It's Kihem Chayenu. As we started with in the Sefer Achinuch, this Torah is why the world and we were created. When we say the bracha, that's what we mean. And that's why you can't learn without saying it. Because to learn without saying it would be to destroy and dismantle everything that the Torah stands for. That's why it's forbidden to learn without saying the bracha first. That's why this bracha is truly the most interesting and the most unique bracha that we have. And that gets back to the Ramban that Lazer told us at the beginning, and Eitan also. Ki shem Hashem ekra havu godel elokeinu. When I call out in the name of God, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you respond with praise. The Ramban says that's the source for the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah. And we'll get more into it next week. But as Lazer pointed out, the Pasuk says, Ki shem Hashem ekra. Moshe says, when I call out in the name of God. The Ramban explains in his Hakdama, in his introduction to his Perush al HaTorah, that from a Kabbalistic perspective, from a more esoteric perspective, the Torah, all of the words of the Torah, comprise the names of God. The Torah is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to us in this world. And that's why, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when I'm about to encounter the name of God, when I'm about to study the will of God, I first have to have that praise. I have to realize and appreciate what I'm about to do. So let's end off with a very, very famous section from the Baal HaTanya, source number 15. The Alter Rebbe writes in the Tanya, in the fifth parak, a very famous passage. And this is something that I try to share with all of my students also. Whenever I'm teaching, high school boys, try to share this with them. Because often you'll come to a Gemara and people will say, it's never gonna happen. What's with this? Why do I have to care about the ox and the donkey and this and that? Why do I have to care about any of that? Why just tell me about how to put on tefillin. Tell me how to put on tzitzis. Why am I learning Maseches Bava Kama? Why am I learning Maseches Erechin? Take a look at the Alter Rebbe. Vihinei halacha, learning the laws. Zohi chochmasol v'ritzono shalach kodesh baruch hu. That is the wisdom and the will of God. Sha'ala v'ritzono shakeshiyiton ruvin kach lekach darech bashal. V'shimon kach lekach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had it in his mind, kaviyachol. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a mind, chas v'shalom, but just speaking way of speech. That when Reuven has such and such a claim, and Shimon has such and such a claim, yiyah psak b'neim kach v'kach, that this is how you should adjudicate their dispute. Ve'afim lo haya v'lo yiyah hadavar zeh lo'olam. Even if this will never happen, this dispute, lavo l'mishpat atano sotvios elu, that these claims will come to court, mikol makom nonetheless, me'achar shekach Allah beretzono v'chachmasol shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since Hashem said that this was the halacha, those are Hashem's thoughts, so to speak. Shem yiton zekach v'zekach, yehapsach kach. That if Reuven says this and Shimon says this, then this should be the verdict. So what does that mean? Harei, כשאדם יודע ומסיק בשכלו פסק זה כהלכה או ארוחה במשנה או גמרא פוסקים. When a person understands and he grasps in his intellect that this is the proper ruling, as it said in the Mishnah or the Gemara or later decisors, Hareza masig v'tofis umakif b'sichlo. He is wrapping his intellect around what? Ritzono v'chochmaso shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The less machshava tfisa b'hi. V'lo b'ritzono v'chochmaso. Ki im b'hislap shusam b'halachos v'aruchos tefaminu. This is the mystery to the, this is the answer to the greatest mystery of all. How does man, who is puny, a finite human being, a faulty person, how does he or she engage in a relationship with the Almighty, with the Infinite, Omniscient, Omnipotent? How do you do that? Without the Torah, we wouldn't have a way of connection. But says the Baal HaTanya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, and it's through the Torah that we're able to have that uniting and that relationship together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we're thinking about His wisdom and coming to understand Him through His will. V'hu yichud nifla she'in yichud kamahu. That is a wondrous union that there is nothing like. When we say Birkas HaTorah, what we're doing is announcing for ourselves and for Hashem that we appreciate that that's exactly what we're about to, that's the journey we're about to take. That's Birkas HaTorah. And therefore, during Sfiras HaOmer, during this period, during this time of the year, what we're working on in trying to get ourselves ready to be mekabel the Torah on Shavuos is to really deepen our appreciation for what we do when we learn Torah, what the Torah is, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And that's why Birkas HaTorah ends up being one of the only brachos that the Torah itself mandates us to say. So over the next couple of weeks, we'll go more deeply into the laws of Birkas HaTorah, and hopefully we'll use that as inspiration going forward in Sfiras HaOmer. Yashar Koach.